Namakrishnupadaya Krishna Pristabhutare Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanandane Namaste Yavasati Devam Gauravani Prasadane Nirvaseva Sanyavadi Vaskasya Desatarane
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Narayana Shri Vasati Gauravata Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Pandita Bhavo Rajan Bhavo Vyasanshayachida Sarasaspata yogyeke asantoshatpatantyada. O King Yudhishthira, many persons with varied experiences, many legal advisors, all your questions that is yet enough to translate?
Yes. I thought that afterwards, not. Yeah.
So now do some things. Opening Yudhishthira, many persons with various experience, many legal advisors, many learned scholars, many persons eligible to become presidents of learned assemblies fall down into hellish life because of not being satisfied with their positions. Of course it is not very easy to be satisfied of all this. In this material world, we always need things from the external to be satisfied. Just consider, if you do not take in food which is outside of you, you will starve to death. If you do not breathe air, which again is a thing which comes from outside, you will suffocate. If you do not drink, there is a great danger for your life. And also, if you do not sleep, after some time you might get crazy, like our neighbor, the younger player was too much disturbing to his child, and therefore he threw stones at Sumatvachka. So you can see the existential position of a living entity is in this world that he is constantly in need of something. And if these things are not supplied to him, something bad happens with him. Now, this is the meaning of material life. Kamshati, hard struggle for existence. Now all you strugglers and fighters, I have a very good news for you. I feel many of you who come to our movement, they are tired of this struggling. They do not want to go to school to struggle there, to get some information in their head which they will forget after some time. The very concept to work for eating and a place of sleeping is not very appealing. Yesterday our Zurn past, ask me why is this world so ordinary. So those who come to transcendental life, they instinctively want to become passive in the material world. Bhakti Natalia is another example. She is a great pop star, but it's too much for her. She prefers to peel potatoes for Krishna. Much more pleasing. So it is natural for a person in transcendental life to become passive. Or Zasha doesn't want to go to school, and the other Zasha, he is already stopping school. This is a natural tendency, because the soul does not want to be active in the material field. And to not do anything is actually spiritual. You will be very surprised to hear. To not do anything is very spiritual. It's a spiritual, it's a situation of the spiritual soul to be materially passive, to not do anything in the material field. Yesterday we have heard the activities of the spiritual soul in relationship to Krishna are not activities which are full of struggle, but the activities there are full of pleasure. In one lecture in Melbourne, Australia, Srila Prabhupada was explaining that by the desire of the devotee desires to serve Krishna in a particular way, this desire becomes a substantial fact. He can even change his body according to his desire. This is a fact which is again bringing us the very spiritual information. Say, if you want in this world, if you want to play very nicely on your violin, but you have not gone through the school, you will not be able to play on the violin like Bhakta Peter. No, Bhakta Peter plays on cello, isn't it? But in the spiritual world, if you desire Krishna and to satisfy Krishna in a particular way, you are able to do this. You are equipped with all the necessities which are important for you to perform this snujpa, this service. This is a spiritual work. So, therefore, we do not like to struggle. Yeah, Dalibor doesn't go to the university. Bhakta Zasha doesn't go to America to become the greatest artist. Very big artist, performance artist. We all like to stop with the material activities. That's spiritual. No one should accuse the devotees of being sloppy. They are very spiritual people. However, if the devotee now says, okay, let me rest from morning to evening, this is very spiritual, we have heard, he will be incorrect. By resting, no one has made advancement. Even if you dream of slushpa, that is not the same as meditation. Except for very rare cases, but we talk about them. Now, when you have become materially inactive, you must become spiritually very active, so that you get your spiritual body. Just like by gymnastic exercise, you can get your muscles and so on, get your material body very healthy by sadhana or spiritual exercise. You will be able to make your spiritual body very healthy. So for us in this conditioned state, it is advised work first, samadhi later. Let us now first join Iveshwara's Sankirtan party and distribute a lot of kniha. Every day Iveshwara is out the whole day. He is very enthusiastic for Sankirtan. So we can learn from him. Rukmini Sudha Prabhu is here when he is out all day. So, all right. This is a point which we wanted to make to all of you. The tendency to become materially inactive is spiritual. But to develop our spiritual body so that we can be on the complete spiritual platform of Bhakti Yoga, we will have to engage now in Sushma, in service to Krishna. This was one point. Another point which we wanted to raise today is yes, we wanted to talk about different points regarding the personality of Krishna. Yesterday we talked about his holy name, his holy place, his transcendental form, and today we want to talk about his transcendental activities and his transcendental gunas, his qualities. Now, first of all, I would like to talk about Krishna's transcendental leelas. Again, Krishna's transcendental leelas are very difficult to understand even for Lakshmi. Lakshmi, sometimes, Lakshmi is together with the Lord in Vaikuntha, and she serves Krishna, or Lord Narayan there, by massaging his lotus feet. She cannot understand Krishna's leela, where Krishna sometimes wants to massage the lotus feet of Radharani. It's very difficult for her to understand this, except this. She sometimes does great austerities in order to join Krishna's transcendental pastimes, but she is not able to join them permanently because it requires a great amount of transcendental understanding which is based on love in order to understand Krishna's pastime. Now, one of these pastimes I want to read to all of you, explain to all of you. As you properly know, in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna, Radharani is married to Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu is the husband of Radha. This is so because the loving pastimes become more interesting when there is a risk involved. We can see this also with some of our bhaktas. Some of our bhaktas, when they come here, they come at great personal risk because their father and mother threaten to hang them when they come to the temple. So therefore, they like to come very much. It is so adventurous to come to the temple. But when the adventure spirit goes away, then the bhaktas or bhaktis also do not come as often any longer. We have seen this. This is a natural thing, because if something is difficult to get, then you usually fight more for it. This is a risk. When one lives in the temple, everything becomes so perfectly ordinary or perfectly usual. You get used to everything. And then you lose your smaka, taste. Yes. This is this we come to experience sometimes. Therefore, Krishna sometimes puts the devotee in a little crisis, so that he again begins to desire very strongly for his lotus feet. Now, Radharani always desires the association of Krishna. But it is very difficult for her to get this association because she is married. And, now we know that Abhimanyu, her husband, is actually a shadow of Krishna. Radha cannot be married to anyone else than the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So anyways, once Radha, it was in the springtime, almost like this, would go every morning to the river Yamuna to take her bath. But her mother-in-law, Yatila, her sister-in-law, Kutila, they were suspecting mother-in-law, yes. What is mother-in-law? Specula. Specula was thinking, Radha only goes under pretense to take her bath. In actuality, she wants to meet this Nikop Krishna. So you must understand that everyone in Vrindavan, also the Svekiva, yes, wants to help Radha meet Krishna. But some do it in a way which is very, which is almost evil. They are putting obstacles in the meeting of Radha and Krishna. So Yajila Kotila says, I can't. Radha is together with Krishna on the Yamuna. So Kutila left her village and went to Vrindavan to find out. By the way, what is Krishna doing early in the morning? Oh, the people in Vrindavan. He is going to the Yamuna to take a bath. It is a great austerity to take a bath at that time. So Krishna performs this religious austerity. Ha ha! Kutila. Now I know. So in secret, she went the next morning towards the Yamuna. Now, of course, Radha and Krishna were meeting there. Yeah. What else? Now, when Kutila, the sister of Abhimanyu, was coming towards the Yamuna, Tulsi, who is a gopi, saw her approaching. Now Radha and Krishna at that time were in a house made of flowers, and they were enjoying their association together, taking flutes, talking, playing different games. Krishna was sometimes playing the flute for Radharani. And so Tulsi, she alarmed. Radha and Krishna said, "Wait, be careful, Kutila is approaching. This will be a great scandal if she sees you together." So Krishna said, "Mother," and left very quickly the house of flowers and went into the inner part of the Vrindavan forest, where he met Vrindadevi. Vrindadevi gave him different cloth. So Krishna dressed himself up like Abhimanyu, the brother of Kautila and the husband of Radha, and went very quickly to Kautila. "Oh," said Kautila, "brother, what are you doing here?" And Krishna, with the voice of Abhimanyu, said, "Well, one of my bulls has run away. That's why I'm here. I'm trying to find him. It's very difficult to find him. Up till now, I'm not successful." "Oh," said Kautila, "do you know your wife, Radha, is together with Krishna? And I'm going to find them, and I will make a big scandal." "Oh," said Abhimanyu, "this is very bad. I will hide here in the forest for a while. And if you see Krishna with Radha, come to me. I'm hiding here. And tell me, and I will immediately go to Kamsa. And then he will take his soldiers and imprison Krishna." So Kautila went into this house where this house of flowers was. So Lalita said, "What do you want?" "What I want? You pretend to be good girls, but you are supporting this most immoral behavior of Radha and Krishna. I will now walk into this house of flowers, and I will see Radha and Krishna embracing each other. This will be, I will be very, very, I will go to Kamsa." "No, no," said Lalita, "no need to go. Here are some demigods in this house, two demigods enjoying their company. We as ordinary mortals had no business surprising them." "No, no," said so Kautila became very angry. "I smell, here is the smell of Krishna." See, Krishna, one of his qualities is he has a very overwhelming transcendental smell. He does not take any perfume. A very sweet aroma. "I smell the smell of Hari." So the word Hari also means lion. And Lalita said, who was very clever, "Aha, thank you very much, Sister Kautila, that you are telling us that a lion is here. Then let us immediately run away." So Kautila became very disturbed. "Now, you give up your tricks." And she took her foot and just kicked the door of the flower house open. Of course, there was no one in there. "Oh," said Kautila, "really? But oh no, and she saw two flower garlands, which were worn by Radha and Krishna. I have the proof of these flower garlands. If they are pressed together, it means Radha and Krishna were meeting. I will take these flower garlands and will give them to Abhimanyu, and he will give them to Kamsa, and then Radha and Krishna will be finished. So she took the flower garlands and went to where Krishna was hiding in the disguise of Abhimanyu. Said, here, Krishna, no, Abhimanyu, here are the fruits. The indices. You have a criminal, you have these indices, isn't it? Index.
Evidence.
Yeah, evidence. Index.
What?
Indokas, yes, the indokas. Here is the indokas. And yes, I will immediately go to Kansa, but be careful. Yes, so I will immediately go to Kansa and I will bring an army. Then this now becomes very dramatic. So Radha went home a little later, and Krishna very quickly also went to Radha's home. Still he was disguised as Abhimanyu, and he said, my dear Yashoda and Kotila, here I am, but I must warn you, I have not directly gone to Kamsa because this Nikov Krishna is coming in the disguise of Abhimanyu. He has dressed himself up as Abhimanyu, and he will come in order to associate with Radharani in our own house. So be very, very careful. He will soon arrive here. So Krishna, in the disguise of Abhimanyu, went into Radharani's room, and a little later, Abhimanyu came, the real Abhimanyu. He had bought some cows, so he came to go home. But when Yatila and Kotila saw him approaching, they thought he was Krishna in disguise. So they had armed themselves with earth and cow stool. And when poor Abhimanyu came, they were standing at the balcony with the baby going, and Abhimanyu was looking, mother, sister, what are you doing? Then they threw this earth. Hey, now, what are you doing? Are you completely crazy? And they said, you need come, Krishna. You want to enjoy in our own house the association of Radha. This is too much. Here, take this. And they were beating him, and Abhimanyu was completely bewildered. He didn't know what they were talking about. Whilst Radha and Krishna and the gopis in the room were laughing very much. So this shows you one of Krishna's leelas. We hear in the Krishna book usually these leelas, which is where Krishna protects his devotees by lifting the Govardhan hill, and killing the different demons who came to Vrindavan. And we hear of the Mathura Leelas and the Leelas with the different gopis, Rasa Leela. We hear that only one time about the Leelas with the different gopis. But in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's activities are actually a loving exchange with his devotees, and he creates many different leelas or transcendental pastimes in order to facilitate this, transcendental exchange. Now, after Krishna had become a little older, he left Vrindavan. You might remember Krishna had appeared in the prison of Shanksa to his parents Devaki and Vasudeva, and he felt after some time that he should visit his parents, who were not in Vrindavan but who were in Mathura. So Kansa started to make plans to kill Krishna personally. He wasn't about enemy of Krishna. Therefore, he arranged for a wrestling match in Mathura, where he wanted Krishna and Balaram to participate and have his most his strongest wrestlers kill Krishna in a game of wrestling. Now, he sent Akrura on his chariot in order to take Krishna from Vrindavan. Krishna left Vrindavan this one morning. The gopis were very, very, very disturbed because they could not live without Krishna. They stood in the way of the chariot and they tried to block the way of the horses. But Krishna assured them, no, I just have to see my parents in Mathura and I have to do some business there. I have to kill some demons. But then I will return to Vrindavan. The gopis who were cursing Lord Brahma for having created eyelids whose blinking would separate them for a moment from the wonderful Krishna, these gopis were completely finished. The gopis were so much attached to seeing Krishna that this blinking of the eye, which is natural, was disturbing them. They said, now when we close the eye and then open it, we have not seen Krishna for part of a second. What imperfect Brahma, what imperfect creator, he has created such foolish eyes. So when Krishna left them, you cannot imagine, they were so much in anxiety. They could not move any longer. They were just standing like statues, like Bhujansa. Bhujansa is not, can move. They were standing like figures or like a painting and looked how the chariot which transported Krishna left Vrindavan. And Krishna never came back. There, even when you go down to Vrindavan, there is one cowherd boyfriend of Krishna who sits at the border of Vrindavan and looks the direction of Krishna disappearing, the direction of Mathura. He sits there and waiting. He waits already since 5,000 years there. But Krishna has not returned. This was a great tragedy. after Krishna had left Vrindavan, the gopis went into some forest and just cried and cried. And they didn't eat any longer. They didn't move any longer. The Yamuna also cried, the river. When Krishna was there, the Yamuna River had always brought her most beautiful lotus flowers and put those lotus flowers on the feet of Krishna. But now Krishna was no longer there, so the Yamuna became white. Yashoda didn't cook any longer. The Nanda Maharaj walked around like a madman. Without Krishna, the people of Vrindavan could not live. It was almost as if the soul had left the body. Sometimes you have this when anyways, I don't want to give this example. So now we come to a very, very, very important understanding of Krishna's Leela. Now Krishna actually had not left Vrindavan. There is a shloka which says Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, even for a moment. What Krishna had done is he stayed in Vrindavan, but in the hearts of his devotees. And his activities in Vrindavan are going on eternally there, but in an aprakat form. Do you know what is the meaning of aprakat? No? Yes. Little. Akrure. Akrura knows. Unmanifested. Yes. Krishna left, so to say, but in another form, his original form, he stays in Vrindavan. Can you understand this, Lauren? Little bit, an idea, little idea. So this is the secret of Krishna's transcendental pastime. He left the gopis and the inhabitants of Vrindavan so that they would experience an even more intense form of Krishna consciousness, which is service and love in separation. Sometimes it happens in this world that a boyfriend leaves a girl, or the girl leaves a boyfriend, and the boyfriend is completely finished. That he cannot do anything, and he fails on his examinas. He is completely finished, ruined. And sometimes he imagines the girl is there, and he hears ringing at the door, and runs to the door, and opens it, and it's only the postman. He says, "I don't want the mail. I want Jelena." So in his mind, he imagines to be together with Jelena and swim in the lake of Subhoticha with her, and so on and so forth. But this is all Maya, the mentality more. But Krishna is together with the devotee who is seriously desiring his, who is suffering his separation. And this is what also happens sometimes even in our Krishna consciousness. Sometimes it may happen that you are fully engaged Sometimes it may happen that you are fully engaged in your devotional service, but you do not feel happy. At that time, Krishna puts a serious test before you. He wants to lead you to a higher stage of Krishna consciousness. See, if Krishna really likes a devotee, he will sometimes disappear. He will sometimes not be available for the devotee. He will make himself very distant. Sometimes he will take also material opulences from his devotees. He will make that his devotees fails in an examination, that he gets only bad marks, and that the friends leave the devotee. And in this way, he will create a situation that the devotee will only like to be together with Krishna, that he will only take shelter in Krishna, that he will not live in the illusion that he can be happy without Krishna. This is why sometimes Krishna creates some difficulty, so that the intense desire of the devotee to come to Krishna becomes much more strong. By this fire of separation, the devotee feels utterly hopeless, and he feels, oh no, I can't reach Krishna's lotus feet, I'm too fallen, I'm too much of a meatcock, look, everything goes wrong. By this fire of misery, Krishna brings his devotee to a much higher state of Krishna consciousness. This higher state of Krishna consciousness is described as intense longing for Krishna. That's what the gopis in Vrindavan experienced after Krishna had left them, that they had a very intense longing for Sri Krishna. And that's how they always were to get together with Krishna in his aprakat form, in his unmanifested form. They are still always together with Krishna. So when our friends of Lord Krishna approach Krishna consciousness, they think, oh, everything must always be very nice. This is what these bogus so-called spiritual movements say. Chant a mantra and smile, and you will be very strong, you will be very good in your examen. Is it examen? Examen? Examina, isn't it? Yes? Examen. Examina. No? What is the Hebrew name in the E-speed. E-speed. You will be very good in your E-speed. And so on and so forth. But no! If Krishna really loves you, he makes a little problem. So then you think, oh, this nonsense material life. I just want Krishna. That's all. Plus. Now, our nice ghost just does his e-speed. Yes. Now, please don't become afraid. That Krishna will not make you a success. This is what happens when one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness. Just like Srila Vyasadeva, Srila Vyasadeva had a moment of crisis. You remember he had written the Vedic scriptures and he was feeling depression. So he felt so depression, he didn't want to continue any longer. At that time, his Virta Master Narada Muni appeared to him and said, "Yes, you have written this wonderful Vedic scripture, but I must tell you, you have forgotten the most important thing, which is Krishna." So you could see, Krishna had made this feeling of expression, this despondency in his heart, so that he could go to the next stage, which is he could talk about Krishna, think about Krishna, and only write about Krishna. This is why Krishna had created a crisis for his devotee. This is one of the qualities of Krishna. Krishna is called Bhakta Vatsala, the friend of his devotees, who wants to arrange everything in such a way that his devotee can only turn to him. See, at this particular moment, our soul is covered with material desires and material illusions, so that we are serving the material energy. So this covering of material desires and material illusion has to be destroyed by Sri Krishna through transcendental enlightenment. And he does so if he feels that the devotee strongly desires him. The greatest secret in Krishna consciousness is this: to desire to become Krishna conscious. Only if this desire is very strong, then you can become successful in your spiritual life. At this particular moment, our desires are spread all over. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, an endless array of desires. If a conditioned soul sits down to write down all his desires, he can write a book which is 1,000 pages thick. So that's why the conditioned soul is always very weak and very ineffective. Now in Krishna consciousness, we want that this many desires become one desire only, and that is to go back to Krishna. That desire is very, very strong. It will wash away all the dirt of material contamination out of the mind. But if you have only very weak desire, you will always run back between material life and spiritual life. If Krishna sees how your desire becomes like a strong river again, without so many branches and rivulets, Krishna will help you that all obstacles on the path of devotional service are carried away. But if our desire is not strong enough, Krishna will sometimes make us a little bit suffer by having us experiencing the consequences of our desires. And we will waste maybe another lifetime by just experiencing the consequences. So So the question now is, how will our desire become very strong? What would you say, Sasha? Repeat the question.
No.
You didn't understand, or you were spaced out? He was all right. Good. This is an important question, isn't it? So,
вероятно, слушаете духовного учителя.
By hearing this word to master. Yes, this is more. What else? Alexandra, playing flute. Yes, Bhaktin Alexandra said she has association with devotees who have this desire. Also, very good. Tejas, what do you do to increase your desire to become Krishna conscious?
To chant which is pure.
What?
To chant very pure and good.
Tejas, just to chant very purely. What do you do? Eat prasad.
Krishna.
But this is Tiyaritska. You're not doing it. But this doesn't count. He has said something theoretical. So there are a few things which we can which we have said. One is we discussed to keep the brahmachari ashram. This is very good for increasing desire. But much more than that is what Zoran said, Bishop, and what Bhakti Alexandra said. They both had very nice answers. To be together with devotees who have this desire. And that's sometimes a little rough, because these devotees are will be a little demanding. Sometimes our friends say, "Oh, these devotees, you cannot talk Prajalpa." And if you say to them, "Let's go to the lake of Subhaticha to swim," they will say it's Maya. So sometimes our friends of Lord Krishna think the association is a little rough. You should not think so. You can get the most important thing from the association of devotees. That's the desire to become Krishna conscious. At this particular state, you cannot really trust your own desires. You cannot trust your own mind, because it's so diverted. It's so sloppy. It is so sometimes perverse. So, therefore, please have association with devotees. And do not make offenses against devotees. But should not make offenses against the devotee, because that separates one completely from Krishna consciousness. Then it is very nice what Zoran said. We should hear from our spiritual master. When we hear from the spiritual master in an attentive way and not fall asleep, we can get strength by hearing from him. We can get some guidelines how to advance in Krishna consciousness. And we can also get some energy from him. And then we... yes. So, another thing which I want to recommend to you, now I want to address our friends of Lord Krishna, who sometimes cannot really imagine to live like devotees. Now your holidays come. So, during the holiday time, it is nice if you visit a temple and live in a temple. It's sometimes nice if you make a journey. You're very much welcome in our Nimachika Vama. There we have such nice bhojanstha. You won't believe your eyes. There are also many Yugoslavian devotees who can they can translate the lectures for you and sometimes speak in Yugoslavian, give lectures in Yugoslavian language. So it is very nice to make holidays on the farm. Very good prasadam. I mean, so good. You won't, you will come like this to Beograd. When you come to return to Beograd, you do not need to eat for a month. So nice, prasadam. This will help you very much. See, this material world is just for a few days. What you do now has no, is nothing for the eternal soul. It's only wasting your time. Tito wasted his time. See, now he tried so much to make one Yugoslavia. And no one, and so many people don't like this concept any longer. It's just wasting his time. Eating meat. And where is Tito now? No one knows. Maybe with the Yamadutas. anything which we do in this material world is wasting time. But at the same time, these activities have a consequence. The energy of these activities is conserved and will carry us to the next body. So, although it's a waste of time, it's entangling. And therefore, material activities are not worth the endeavor. So let us better, so to say, qualify ourselves with spiritual activities so that we can return back to Krishna in the spiritual world. So this can, this enthusiasm or this desire can also come by hearing regularly in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam, I want to recommend to all of you to become students of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a very unusual scripture. The setting is extremely dramatic. Parikshit Maharaj, the wise king of the earth, was cursed to die within 7 days. And he asked all the saints, all the great professors of Vedic knowledge, to come to him at the bank of the Ganga River, explain to him what was the duty at the time of death. So they were all talking. It was a huge gathering. But then, all of a sudden, a personality entered the assembly who was not dressed. He was 16 years old. And he appeared to be like a madman. Children were following him. Said, women were following him. Now, when he came into the assembly, the great saints made place for him. They were saying, now he should speak. He should tell what is the duty of someone who is about to die. Now, imagine this was happened. Imagine I would give here a lecture, like now, all of a sudden a personality would come. His eyes would be lotus, would go up to the ears. I mean, this looks very unusual already, isn't it? He would have blue skin, very black hair, and he would look very far away, and I would say, I would pay my humble obeisances, gosh, would get off this nice cushion, sit with you on the floor and say, please, I am not qualified to speak in your presence. Please, you give the lecture. Immediately you would think, what does he have to say? You would, isn't it? You would be like this. Yeah. So this is what happened at the gathering at the bank of the Ganga. Shukadev Goswami began to speak, and he spoke for 7 days without end the Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything he discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And at the end, Parikshit Maharaj said, thank you very much. My questions are now completely fulfilled. Let now the curse take effect on me. I now want to only ask you one permission. Let me meditate on Sri Krishna. That's Sukadeva Goswami, and immediately left the assembly. He came from nowhere. He spoke, and when Parikshit Maharaj, after when the seventh day came, he didn't waste a minute, he just got up, isn't that? Marathon discussion. So, Parikshit Maharaj said, on the mat of Kusha, he actually looked towards the east. That's a good direction if you want to meditate. And he began to immerse his mind in thinking of Krishna. And he was extremely Krishna conscious at that time. Just before he sat down to meditate, he preached to one, to his mother, and taught her the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brihat Bhagavatamrita. That's a very nice book, which when you are little mature in Krishna consciousness, you should also read. In this book, he describes two subjects, who's the best devotee, and he also describes how Gop Kumar went back home, back to Krishna. Next time when I come to Beograd, I will tell you this long story. You will need like 7 days to describe how he left the planet Earth, how he went through different other planets, what he saw there, what he saw in the spiritual world. that will be discussed a little later. But it is described that then Parikshit Maharaj just thought about the deep meditation about Krishna. And then he left his body and returned home back to Krishna. So, please, hearing this Srimad Bhagavatam will also increase your desire to approach Krishna. Understand that this life is a short mission. Please understand that you are very fortunate. By Krishna's mercy, you have the opportunity to contact this wonderful movement of Krishna consciousness. Please become very serious in your Krishna consciousness. You might know we will get now a bigger temple. It seems so. You have to keep praying. Think today I will look at the house from inside. We can plan where the temple room. There's the reading room where you can come and read when your parents don't like that you read Bhagavatam at home. Read it in the temple. And in this way, we will have many activities which spread the Krishna consciousness movement in Beograd. We also hope to make a nice place in the middle of town where we have big space for temple room, like a fabrica etaja. Fabrica So we can we have regular Sunday feasts. Please also come for our different programs, especially Saturday evening. We need all the friends of Lord Krishna in good spurs, because we want that the whole hall dances in ecstasy. Like in our Poland tour, and it's nice that your friends are around, so that the atmosphere is very high. Hare Krishna, I want to end here. Do you have any questions? So everything is Moshe. This life is for developing Krishna. Do you accept this?
When the devotee comes to Krishna, first he went to the material universe. And I want to ask if there, they get material body or original body. Because it is said, I read in that kind of that some gopis didn't immediately went on ascendance, some times later, and actually they left the material body at home and they went in spiritual body.
If you know, please repeat your question in Yugoslavian.
Pitala sam da li kad se vratimo u duhovni svet prvo idemo u materijalni univerzum, da li imamo tamo materijalno ili spiritualno telo. Jer sam čitala da neke gopije nisu odmah išle da se pese prišlo nego malo kasnije i pisalo da su išli u spiritualno telo, a materijalno telo su ostavile kući.
Srila Rupa Goswami did. Now, first of all, I have to explain our friends before you go to Goloka Vrindavan, to the spiritual world, you are trained, so to say, somewhere here in this universe, where Krishna's leelas take place. Now you may think, oh no, so much waiting. But as we have discussed yesterday evening, there is really no difference between Goloka Vrindavan and Gokula Vrindavan. It means the activities which take place here in the universe, they take place on the platform of interspiritual energy. And of course those who take place in Goloka Vrindavan also take place on that platform. So, to answer your question, when we finally are Krishna conscious, we take birth through a womb of a gopi. That's why, how we come out. And to take part in Krishna's leela here on this, in this world. That is a spiritual body. Now you, this so-called material body is only a so-called material body. Which you have read in the 10th canto, you have read that some gopis could not meet with Krishna in the rasa tenses, they came with a material body. That's only a so-called material body. Don't ask me how it is. What is the difference between a so-called material body and a spiritual body? There's a subtle difference. It's a difference in... In love. These devotees are not yet so advanced in their loving relationship to Krishna. But it is described that by their giving up this so-called material body, they joined Krishna also. They embraced him in his heart, and they were together with him in this form.
Juče na lekciji govorili smo o Šrivasačarju koji je napustio svoje telo i otišao tražiti svoje materijalne rane. Kada se vratio, on je žvakao neke oraščiće koje mu je isto dao Šrivasačarju. Sada interesuje prenos samih tih oraščića iz duhovnog sveta koji su se sada manifestovali u njegovom materijalnom telu.
Yesterday we discussed about Srinivasacharya, how he went to the spiritual world and was searching for the ring of Radharani. So he wants to know how, when he came back, he had these betel nuts in his mouth. How they were transferred from the spiritual world to his material body. Yeah.
This you will understand when you become a devotee. This is very difficult. See, once Prabhupada was asked to talk about Radha Krishna Leela. And he answered in a very unexpected way. He said, once there was a man who never drank sugar cane juice. So his friend asked him, what is the taste of... No, so he asked his friend, what is the taste of sugarcane juice? Oh, said the friend. It's impossible to explain. You have to drink it, then you know. No, come on. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, no, it was, the friend wanted to know what is the taste of a jackfruit. Sorry. So this man wanted to know from his friend what is the taste of jackfruit. Yes? Please say. Now I've got a little people that... there was a man who wanted to have the taste, experience the taste of jackfruit. Yes. Jackfruit, do you know what is jackfruit? I think it's not in Yugoslavia, jackfruit. Jacks Kafrutska. So, it doesn't matter. Jack, you can say jackfruit. It doesn't grow in Yugoslavia, so... our man was very... this friend said, no, you have to taste, you have to eat jackfruit. Then you know how it tastes. But the friend said, please describe as far as you can. The friend said, all right, just imagine you have the beard of a Muslim and you pour sugar cane through it, sugar cane juice, and then you drink it. And that's how the taste of the jackfruit is. So of course, the man didn't know about how a jackfruit tastes. Can you imagine how sugar cane juice being poured through the beard of a Muslim tastes? Very hard to imagine. Our fantasy is not strong enough to imagine this. So, Prabhupada said, in a similar way, it is very difficult to make this spiritual emotions or spiritual life to express it in words. You have to experience it. But it doesn't harm to be interested in these things. I'm not saying you shouldn't be interested. But your particular question cannot be answered to you, because it would mean you would have to know a little bit more by practical experience.
You said that when we go to another universe, then we are born in the new one. We come to this life.
Yeah. Hopefully. When we are pure devotees.
There is a story of Gop Kumar and he's meeting with Krishna. So I was wondering how actually we meet with Krishna, because we were born in the
world. I'm not sure if I understood.
I'm asking about meeting with Krishna
after
so long.
Yeah.
Because there is a story of Gop Kumar when he meets with him after going to different planets, and then Krishna is painting. Like that, but if we are born like a baby,
Lejo, speak in
English. Loud. Osusa sa Krishna, jer svoj priča o Gokumaru koji se susreo sa Krishna nakon što je išao kroz razne planete, preko razne planete, i onda Krishna, on se susreo sa Krishna, Krishna sam je svestio od sreće i to. Bio je vrlo fascinantan susret. Rečeno je da se mi rađamo u matrici Gopa, pa sam pitao kako izgleda taj naš susret sa Krišnom stvari.
So, in the story of Gop Kumar, before he actually meets Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, he comes to the Vrindavan on this earth. he has gone through so many planets. And when he comes to this earth, everything has changed. Only Vrindavan has stayed the same, because it's spiritual. And there he meets Krishna first. Krishna appears before him, and Gokumar falls into an ocean of ecstasy. And then Krishna disappears. And Gokumar he falls down unconscious, because Krishna is no longer there. And then he is transferred to Goloka Vrindavan. In the spiritual world. Now you might think, now where was his birth in the womb of a gopi? But he was already born in Vrindavan. He was born a cowherd boy, and he was born in this, in Vrindavan, in this universe. So this is my answer to it. Now, our friends and our two devotees, please don't become bewildered. You may think, oh, these are all so complicated things, and I immediately forget them. Now can't I go back home, back to Krishna? It gets so complicated. No, it is described that every by your slujba, by your devotional service to Krishna, everything will be revealed in due course of time. It's not something to be learned by academic learning or academic study. Krishna consciousness is so nice, everything becomes revealed automatically. Like, for some of you, it is clear to not eat the cow any longer, or meat. It's crystal clear. You didn't have to go to the university and learn the different arguments on health, why you shouldn't eat the cow. It is revealed. It is clear. So other things will be as become as clear as that. So Hare Krishna, I thank you very much. We will end here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.